This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. I just want to start by reading a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start from verse 22. And I haven't picked this to read just because a lot of the women are away, or my own wife is away. You'll realise that when I get to the verse I really want to speak at, but I want to keep it in context. Verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hateth his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the body. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." All of that has to say, think about marriage, you know, and, you know, when I do a marriage service, you know, we talk to a husband, talk to a wife about, you know, the excitement of two, it says the two becoming one. The two becoming one, not just one flesh, but more than that. And how many have known, you know, a married couple, and it's like, it's like they think the same, they act the same, they become one. And, you know, it's an incredible thing when two become one. But Paul here is saying, I'm talking about Christ and the church. A little while ago, I preached from Hosea, and I'm going to go to that again in Hosea chapter 6. Where it says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight." And I think I focus more on those first couple of verses. But today I really want to look at this next verse, verse 3. It says, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain in the earth. I want to talk about really pressing on to know the Lord. This scripture says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. The Old King James says, let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. We've been given the greatest invitation that anybody can ever have. And that invitation is to what? It's to a marriage supper. It's an invitation to know the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus uses those parables to talk about when he comes back. He's coming back for what? Can you tell me what he's coming back for? A church without spot or wrinkle. Perfect church. That's what he's coming back for. And you know, sometimes what's missing, we pursue the Lord because of what he can do for us. We pursue the Lord maybe because we want to be healed, maybe because we want to be prosperous and all those things. But I want to waken something up in our hearts that God wants us to pursue him for who he is. He loves us with an indescribable love. He loves us with a love that has no bounds. And here we're being invited to pursue the knowledge of the Lord, to follow on to know him. We've been given an invitation, and yet it's going to require something from us. It's going to require sacrifice from us. Who has ever heard of a woman that's getting married to a man and complaining about all that she's going to lose for that union? Well, actually, you do hear about it today. That's what's so sickening. You hear about men, particularly in Australia, complaining about what they're going to lose when they enter that union. Complaining about the freedom that they're going to lose. And it's almost like an indoctrination. And I'll tell you something, guys in the church here, if you're making jokes about marriage and about women, shame on you. Shame on you. Because God is not mocked. This is something that's incredibly important. You know, it's our attitudes that give us away. And that's where it comes out of the mouth from. That's where those jokes come. The Bible says we've got to put away foolish jesting. I don't know how many times out of my mouth has come a foolish jest. I think, where does that come from? It needs to be exposed for where it comes from. God instituted marriage. It's one of the greatest. Think about it. We're born as children into a family. Unconditional love we're born into. We go, that's the ideal. And we start to learn in a family as children, as we grow up, what relationships is all about. This unconditional love of a parent. Then you learn that in relationships, love also means responsibility. You gradually learn that. As a child, you learn that you have responsibilities in your family. And the older you grow, the more those responsibilities are not a burden anymore. They actually become a delight. But what a tragedy when children are brought up in a home and they just want to be free from that burden of responsibility. I want to be free. And then they get married and think they're going to be free, and they bring that same attitude into a marriage. They were never ready for marriage until you are prepared to lay down your life. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, boy, we can make some jokes about the church, couldn't we? How far short it is. But he loved the church and gave himself for it. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church. And then I believe that's what brings us so close to what the heart of God is for us when we enter into a marriage and we start to realize that, yeah, I'm attracted to you where you're the opposite sex. Well, there's the first attraction. Then we're attracted for many other reasons. The benefits of being together, it's not good that we should be alone. But tell you what, there's something far greater. You know, I look back on my marriage with Bev, and I look back and I tell you, I see the times when she stayed with me when she should have gone. Boy, she had the right to go. And I look at her commitment and love to me. And I'll tell you what it did to my heart. It just broke my heart. I'll share this with you. I've told it with people, so it probably is, and Bev knows I've shared it. I remember one day I was in the kitchen with Bev, and we were arguing over something that was just absolutely ridiculous. I can't even remember what it was, but I knew that I wanted to win that argument. And so we're going backwards and forwards, And anyway, I made this statement. I said, if we continue arguing like this, we're going to end up divorcing. And that was a threat. That was to win the argument. And you know what Bev said? She said to me, she was obviously hurt. That really was a below the belt wound. And Bev was obviously hurt. And she said to me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed to this marriage. And not like some martyr. Not like some martyr. How many of you are like a martyr committed to your marriage? That's not the love of God. And not like some martyr. She was hurt. She said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed to this marriage. And she continued to love me. Even though I didn't deserve it, I never earned it, she continued to love me. And I remember as soon as those words came out of her mouth, she was hurt and she could have retorted using the same words but as an arrow, but she didn't. She spoke the truth in love. And that just pierced my heart, showed me where that came from, and, you know, exposed something in me that the devil could use. Had this little string in me. Every time he wanted to pull it, he would just pull it and expose that. And I had to repent of that before the Lord, first of all, because here's my wife that God gave to me and his precious, precious daughter, and said, David, love her as I would love her. And boy, you know, when you look at all the failures and all the shortcomings, but that's his charge to me. And that's what God spoke to me in that hour. And I repented before him. So marriage, I believe, in relationships, just brings us a little bit closer to what the relationship is that every single person can have with God. That's what it's all about. He said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And we're to be a people who press on to know him so that we want to be with him wherever he is. And that the first thing Jesus said? He came to his disciples, came to Mark, came to John, came to Peter. What did he say to them? He said, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. Follow me. Follow me and you won't walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Follow me. You'll have trouble. You'll have tribulation. What did the disciples say? We've left everything to follow you. Remember what I said? What woman or what man complains about what they have lost when they can't join into a marriage? No, it's what you gain. What you gain that's far greater. And I believe that God is calling his church to follow him, to press on to know him, because the church is his bride. So the cost of whatever it is, what did Jesus say? If you want to follow, what was the cost? Let's get to the bottom line. Turn around to, there's a passage of scripture there, he turns around to the multitudes that are following and his own disciples, and what did he say? He said, if you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross, deny yourself, or take up your cross daily, deny yourself and follow me. How many of us have started to do that and thought, boy, this is a bit costly? To know him will cost you everything that you have. That's the cost. Everything you have, it will cost you to know him. But God makes this promise. You know that word knowledge, when we're to press on, follow on to know him, that word is the same word that is used when it says in Genesis that Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived. It's that intimacy. It's the same word. Let us press on to know the Lord. In Habakkuk 2 and verse 14, it says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge. It's that word again, the same knowledge. It shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So how's it going to be filled? it's obviously going to be filled through a people who know him, a people who press on, follow on, don't just make a one-time commitment and then Jesus starts walking in places we don't want to walk. He starts expecting us to do things that we don't want to do and we just say, okay, I'll keep you in sight, Jesus, but I'll just follow, I'll be parallel to you. I'll follow at a distance or I'll follow parallel to you. Still got you in sight. And then what happens? We lose the knowledge and all we're left with then is knowledge. We lose the knowledge and all we're left with is knowledge. Isn't that the epidemic of our time? Knowledge is such an out. You know, it says in the book of Daniel that in the last days, knowledge will increase. Men will run to and fro. Knowledge will increase. You know what it says then? It says, but those who know, it's a different word again. Those who know their God shall be strong and do mighty exploits. See, it comes through intimacy and God's calling us to an intimacy with him. Well, I'll quote all of Daniel 11:32. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant. What would, you know, how about we put it this way? A marriage is a covenant, isn't it? If a husband or a wife in their heart don't have the same affection, don't have the same love and devotion to their husband or wife as they did in the beginning, what would you think of that? I would be grieved if my wife didn't have the same affection towards me as she had in the beginning. I would be grieved by that. Well, that's what God expects of his church. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. We need to be a people who press on to know him. I want us to go to Philippians. And I want us to hear the heart of Paul. How many want to be perfect? How many want to be perfect? Not too many. Well, you might after I've finished with this. Remember, what's he coming back for? A perfect church. I want to be one that he's coming back for. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about, let's put this in context with their own lives. Remember, Paul had it made as a Pharisee in the Jewish community. He had one of the highest callings that the Jewish community could have for any man. Chapter 4, I'll read from verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, people that go back to their vomit, what we used to live for. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That's the attitude we should have. I can't stand it when you've got martyrs in the church, they're giving stuff and they don't want to give it. Keep it. You're going to give, be a joyful giver. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the Lord, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We already heard that this morning. Here was somebody who's pressing on to know him. And suffering was not a problem. It's not an issue as well. In fact, it was something where he got to know more about the Lord. He was wanting that, seeking that. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. What did he do? What was the price that Jesus paid to lay hold of you and me? What was it? Everything. Absolutely everything. He paid that price to lay hold of us. The same word. It means to take eagerly. It means to seize it, to possess it. So it's something that we've got to press on to lay hold of. Push through whatever barriers of the flesh there may be. Push through whatever lies of even our own friends tell us you're going over the top. Look, we all know when you're going crazy, you're going over the top. But I tell you what, somebody who's in pursuit of God, he is no man's debtor. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, laid hold of, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have been given, every one of us, an invitation. Now, there may be many obstacles to stop you getting to that place. That place is in him. It's in him. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But it will take you all that you have to get a hold of it. Every single thing that you have. It's not a matter of you sprucing yourself up in the best suit, the best tie. It's nothing to do with it. It's all of you. Not all of what you can put on the outside. All of your external works and efforts and work to impress, but it's all of you, just as you are. And not all of you know if you're holding back in any way. I want to just leave that. Did we have that clip? I want to show a clip again of Leonard Ravenhill. It's called Men of Prayer. Is that what I wrote down? Prayerful Men. I knew it was something similar to that. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to hear the heart cry in this as well. And every man and woman here as well. Lord, thank you for your promise that as surely as you live, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Lord, I've heard this morning that cry, that thirst, Lord, for you. That thirst and your promise, Lord, that you will pour out your spirit on all flesh. Our sons and daughters shall prophesy, they will see visions, old men will dream dreams. Lord, we thank you that you're going to do that through your church. Lord, as each one of us is one with your heart, one with your mind, one with your will, Lord, for all that you want to do in and through us. Lord, thank you that first of all, you've called this a house of prayer for all nations. Lord, that every single person would know, Lord, that you are their desire. Lord, that every heart would be awoken to know, Lord, that they have a hunger and a thirst for you. And Lord, here we are. We are the people who know what it is to stand and live in your presence, know the joy that's in your presence, the peace that's in your presence. And Lord, we pray that every single person in this community that you have planted us in would experience the same. Lord, that there would be a great hunger and a thirst awoken, Lord, as people drink of your presence. And Lord, as we take your presence everywhere we go, Lord, that is your word, that is what you have spoken. spoken, and as surely as you live, Lord, this whole earth will be filled with your glory. Awaken every one of our hearts, Lord, a greater hunger and a greater thirst, Lord, to press on to know you, to push through apathy, to push through indifference, to push through complacency, to push through doubt, through fear, and every lie that the enemy would try to put in front of us, to push through selfishness, Lord. There'd be such a hunger in this house, Lord, that indeed this would be the house of prayer for all nations, Lord. So there would be such a pouring out, Lord, of your spirit in this place, Lord, that your name might be glorified, that Jesus might be lifted high. Lord, here we are. We are your people. We are your sheep of your hand. Have your way in each one and awaken hearts, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.